This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for World Net Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, a member of both the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, as well as the Environment and Public Works Committee. We want to get his thoughts as cap-and-trade legislation gets considered more in-depthly in the Senate and as climate change becomes a major issue at the G8 summit in Italy. And, Senator, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
We saw the House pass this legislation after a very contentious debate a couple weeks ago. What's it been like in committee as the Senate process gets started?
Well, it's just getting started in the Senate. Now, the Environment and Public Works Committee, on which I serve, is a very left-leaning committee. And I say that even in a pretty liberal Senate. It's chaired by Barbara Boxer, for instance, of California. So certainly at some point that committee will produce a radical bill, as the House did. But I'm hopeful that in the perhaps the fall, as that potentially moves to the floor, it has major problems on the floor of the Senate. And I'm predicting, at least as we speak now, that we can kill any major climate change legislation on the Senate floor and prevent this massive utility and energy tax on every American from going into effect.
Explain a little bit more why you oppose the legislation. You mentioned the tax increases, which just about everyone admits will happen on utilities, gasoline, and elsewhere. What about the energy reform side of this? What do you make of the contents, and what would be your priorities for energy reform?
Well, first of all, anybody who looks seriously at the bill understands that it's a massive tax on the American people through every form of energy in sight. And in fact, President Obama said the same during the campaign. In a now fairly famous taped comment, he said that utility bills would, quote, skyrocket, close quote, because of any cap and trade legislation if it were enacted. So that's number one. Big, massive tax on every American and every American business, which would push jobs overseas. Then the question is, so what are we accomplishing? Now, I have real doubts about the science behind these climate change arguments, but even if you accept that so-called science, I don't think we're going to do anything in terms of the problem, because countries like China and India are not and would not follow our lead. And this is, if it's an issue, it's obviously a worldwide issue without borders. So we would truly be crippling our economy, driving jobs overseas, and the Chinese and Indians would basically be laughing and accepting those jobs every step of the way. And we saw this playing out even in the last few days, as China and India has backed away from any commitments whatsoever on the climate change front in response to activity at the G8 summit.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And the senator, talk about that a little bit more, the president and his comments and his positions that he's taking right now at the G8 summit. Seems like climate change has really been the dominant issue there. He is signing on with these other nations in a commitment to not allow the temperature to rise more than 2 degrees Celsius in the coming years. He's also trying to get everyone on board to cap greenhouse gas emissions by 50% over the coming years. What do you make of the commitments he's making, and what kind of stranglehold does that put on lawmakers?
Well, certainly the president is being very aggressive in the G8 summit, as you say. However, what's perhaps most significant is that so far nothing's been agreed to except broad pie-in-the-sky goals. And there is no mechanism and no mandates on individual countries to get to them. I think China and India are reacting to that by basically breaking up any talks they were considering about climate change goals for themselves. And so this underscores my point that even if you accept all of the science on that side, which I do not, crippling our economy with these onerous energy tax cap and tax provisions would do nothing when China and India are doing nothing, would do nothing in terms of the worldwide issue.
Senator, you mentioned just a moment ago that you are not buying into all the science that the other side on this issue says is settled science. Some say that those opposed to cap and trade need to be more bold, come right out and say that the science is in many ways just flat out bogus, and that this is almost becoming a religion for those on the left on the climate change front. Where do you stand on what you believe the science shows and what it doesn't show?
Well, I think the science is very uncertain, and certainly it's not clear that man-made factors are dominant in terms of any of these trends. In fact, to some extent, the trends themselves are not clear. Unfortunately, in the last few years, this has become such political correctness or even sort of religious belief that the facts don't seem to matter. And unfortunately, that's what's grabbed hold of Washington for the last several years.
What have you heard from your constituents when you talk about all the different components, whether it's the taxes, the likely job losses, the environmental regulation, the bureaucracy that a lot of the opponents on the House side brought up, and then, of course, the science, which we just mentioned. What concerns your constituents most?
Well, all of the above. Now, I think the biggest factor is that a lot of folks are just beginning to tune into this threat. And so I think all of us in leadership positions and in the media need to do a much better job at articulating how wildly radical and how dangerous the House passed bill is and what it would mean to all American consumers and American businesses in terms of a huge energy tax and in terms of pushing jobs overseas. So we need to continue to get that message out. But as that message begins to get out, certainly folks I talk to in Louisiana are really scared to death about this proposal. Of course, it would hit us particularly hard because we are an energy state. And we're doing okay in this recession. We don't have a boom economy, but relatively speaking, we're doing okay with about 6.5% unemployment. A proposal like this would change that for the worse dramatically and would do it overnight.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the Republican alternative. How specific have you been able to get with alternative legislation, and what are the key principles in it?
Well, we're presenting a lot of Republican alternatives on the energy front, not necessarily focused on climate change, but the energy front. In particular, I've led the way on a bill we called the No-Cost Stimulus Act of 2009. I introduced this about 3 months ago with 14 co-sponsors in the U.S. Senate and a companion bill in the U.S. House offered by 30 U.S. House members. And it is both an economic stimulus bill and an energy bill at no cost to the American taxpayer, no additional spending, no additional debt. And it would accomplish major job growth by developing the energy sources we have right here at home offshore and in Alaska, and also using the new federal revenue that would be created, because that actually creates new federal revenue in the form of royalties, and dedicating a good portion of that to the further development of new and renewable and alternative fuels. And so we actually do more in that category than President Obama's original stimulus bill did. So we'd grow jobs without just continuing to print money and spend hard-earned taxpayer dollars.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter, a member of the Environment and Public Works Committee in the U.S. Senate. And Senator, given the current breakdown, as you mentioned, a pretty left-leaning Senate, 60-40 at this point, how are the vote counts looking right now? Clearly, if all the Democrats stick together, they can break any filibuster, but it's pretty clear that they won't be able to all stick together. So what's your best reading of the tea leaves right now?
Well, on climate change, again, I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to block any major climate change legislation like that which came out of the House on the Senate floor. Not taking that for granted, we have work to do, but I'm very hopeful that that's the case. Again, some radical bill will fly out of the Environment and Public Works Committee on which I serve, but I think we'll block it on the Senate floor if, at least if, the American people really tune in and get the message.
And take us inside the committee a little bit. You said it's going to be a pretty radical piece of legislation. Barbara Boxer, of course, as you mentioned, is the chairwoman. Take us inside their thinking. What have they said about concerns that this will kill jobs and radically raise prices and bills on the American consumer?
Well, they're just basically ignoring the facts, and they're coming with these pie-in-the-sky arguments that we're going to create green jobs and it's going to be good for the economy. There have been a number of serious independent studies that show that those sorts of arguments just don't add up. For instance, in Spain, there have been major measures to push alternative fuels and renewable fuels and new technology. And the rigorous analysis is for every one of those new so-called green jobs created, about 2.3 existing jobs have been lost from the traditional energy and other sectors. And so it just doesn't add up in terms of net economic growth. On a net basis, it's a real drag to the economy.
Senator, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.